rising up from the ash. God, forever you reign. Heavenly Father, thank you for being here, for being presence with us. Thank you, God, just for being so amazing, for never leaving us, God. You have never forsaken us, God. I pray, God, that you'll open our hearts today for your message, that we'll listen and we can obey, God. I pray for today's offering that it may be given with an earnest heart, and then it will be used to further your kingdom, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's sing that again. One last time.
Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. Let me pray for us. God, this season of Advent, we do pray into peace, that we would have peace. Some of us have so much turmoil in our lives, and we pray, Lord, for peace. Not necessarily that you'd fix our problems, but our hearts would be drawn to you and understand peace. And I know there's many of us here in this room I'm personally praying for that are unemployed and they're looking for employment. But we pray for peace in those hearts, Lord. Not to say that they would get employment, however important that is, but they would find you in this season and not be afraid, despite the economic downturn, the lack of employment. You are still in control and you are still God. We pray for those of us who are still sick. Myself, I know John's sick. Many of us have had sickness and sneezes and coughs for a long time. But we pray that we'd have comfort in you and find you through this. Help us to seek you through all these things. For those of us who have anxiety, we desire peace. Depression, we desire peace. Loss, we pray for Ernie's family who lost their mom and dad this past Tuesday, for Ernie who lost his both parents on Tuesday. We pray for a huge amount of peace in that family. You would come down in power. They would see you through this. As hard and dark and difficult it is, you are still God. So give us peace. May we be able to surround that family as the body of Christ and love them. Help us find you. Help us find you in this time. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Please be seated. A quick announcement. This coming Friday, 6 o'clock, is our Christmas party. We'll have tickets on sale in the foyer. Please grab them as I need to know how many of you are coming. If you don't have $10 physically, you can still pay online. Just talk to me or Perry or somebody. We'll find ways to take money. Don't you worry about that. But it is a cheap $10 ticket dinner. So please come out. It'll be great. I want to draw your attention to a video on the screen.
Thank you. Well, I've had a little trouble sleeping this past week. In addition to having the bladder of a senior citizen, I guess I've had a lot in my mind, concerns for people with health concerns, Ernie and Judy's father and mother passing, planning details for a Christmas banquet, thinking about gifts for family members. What about you? Do you find that Christmas is a holiday of joy and peace and love, or kind of primarily increased stress? Is Christmas simply a season of added worries that get extra, added to the regular worries that you have, getting or keeping a job, cost of living, will there be more month than money? And then there's Christmas presents, and how's that going to affect that? Getting older, climate change, maybe that's your concern. Physical, emotional health, the health of a close family member, relationships with others, body image. One survey said 50% of us have concerns about what we look like every day. Some of us even worry what's going to happen after we live. What about dying? What happens after we die? We have all kinds of things that cause us stress. And you know what? The only people that don't have any stress are in the cemetery. Some of us worry a little. Some of us worry a lot. Some people take pills to be less anxious in the day and allow them to sleep at night. Most of us would like to worry less. Most of us would like less anxiety and more peace. And the Hebrew word for peace is shalom, and it encompasses all areas of our life, relational, spiritual, emotional, and psychological. Isn't a complete dose of shalom, peace, what all of us would like to have more of this Christmas? All right, a couple of amens, a couple of hands. All right, I'll take that. You know, it's interesting that after the angel announced the good news of Christ coming into the world to the shepherds, there was suddenly a multitude of angels, and they were praising God, and this is what they were saying: glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those with whom God is pleased. One of the great purposes of Christmas is reconciliation. In the middle of all the worries that steal our peace, I want you to hear today what the angels announced to the shepherds more than 2,000 years ago. God wants you to experience his peace on earth because God has shown you his favor. What's the peace that God offers through the life of Jesus Christ, his only son? It's peace with God. You know, some people are afraid of God. It would be scary enough to see an angel in the middle of the night in the open country, right? Radiating powerful beings, right? And you kind of, is this a friendly being or not? Because if it's not friendly, you're dead, right? And the nation of Israel even had a fear of God himself. I don't know if you remember at Mount Sinai, they told Moses, "You go speak to God for us. If we speak with him, we'll die." So the first thing that the angel says to the shepherds is, fear not. Don't be afraid. And in the Christmas stories, you know, we see some of the nativity figures here. The first thing that the angel says to the shepherds is, don't be afraid. The angel tells Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. And he tells Mary, you're pregnant, you're single, but don't be afraid. You've found favor with God. The angel tells the shepherds, don't be afraid. It's always, don't be afraid. The angel came to communicate good news, not bad news. And the good news of the gospel begins with the understanding that through Jesus, we, all of us, can have peace with God. Romans 5:1 is a fantastic verse. Since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't really understand the wonder of this verse unless we realize that without Christ, we're enemies of God. We've warred against him. We made ourselves king. We gratify our sinful nature. Read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, if you want a summary of life BC, before Christ. We weren't friends with God. Before we submitted our lives to God, we were objects of his wrath. So how can imperfect, sinful people be reconciled to a perfect God? Well, it's not a matter of bargaining, negotiating, right? Like, that's the way some people hope that it works. Okay, so if I do more good than bad, then God, are we going to be okay? It doesn't work that way, right? No one can be good enough to be reconciled with God. Some people think, if I just go to church on the big holidays, you know, Christmas and Easter, and then they always wonder, how come the sermon sounds exactly the same? That's not the way that we get reconciled to God. Here's how it works to be reconciled to God. It's not what we do, it's what God has already done. The angel said, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Whom did God show his favor to? Every living person on earth. God showed favor to us by taking the initiative to settle the conflict between us. You know, when two people are fighting in a relationship, and I had an older brother who was 1 year, 9 months older. Yeah, I know lots about fighting in my life. But somebody has to take the initiative towards peace. And the great news of Christmas is that God took the initiative. He sent Jesus to reconcile us to himself. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. To reconcile means to restore the friendship. Lauren Richardson was a mission worker in Papua New Guinea, where local tribes often warred against each other and even practiced cannibalism. And Richardson was looking for a way to communicate the central idea of the gospel. But one of the problems that he faced was that treachery was highly valued in those cultures. Judas Iscariot, he was like a hero to them when he started talking about, you know, the treachery of Judas Iscariot. And he was trying to figure out, how can I communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ to this warring tribe? And then he encountered a higher value of even treachery. And in those cultures, it was possible for two tribes to come to peace with each other when the tribal chiefs exchanged children. And as long as the other tribe's child was alive, there was peace. And this became the central thesis of his book. It's called Peace Child. You want to read a great mission biography? That's a good one. Friends, here's the point. Jesus is God's peace child that he sent to humanity. Jesus was God's only son, and he lived, and he taught, and he did miracles, and eventually died on the cross for your sins and my sins. But he rose again after 3 days, and he ascended to heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God the Father, and one day he's coming back to make all things right. Friends, that's called the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And all of that is what God did on our behalf. It's grace. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. It's not what we do. It's what God has already done. In fact, there's a verse I was reading yesterday in my quiet time, Isaiah 26:12. Lord, you establish peace for us. All that we have accomplished, you've done for us. But there's a second part of the process to be reconciled to God. We have to accept what he's done for us. Peace with God doesn't come by negotiating, kind of get a deal. Okay, I'll give you this, God, you give me this. No, it's total surrender to God. You admit that God's the boss and you aren't. If he's the Lord of all, he's got to be the Lord at all. He must be the Lord of all. And when you submit your life to his lordship, you become a friend of the Almighty God of the universe. And if you haven't entered a friendship with God, you can experience it today. You can actually have peace with God. And I'm going to suggest a prayer that you can pray at the end of the message this morning. But in Christ, we don't just have peace with God. In Christ, we can have the peace of God. You know, anxiety is a big problem in the world today. Anxiety is kind of like fear, but it's less specific. And we all have some level of anxiety. Right? Some level of anxiety can be productive. If you need finances, you're motivated to go look for a job. If you're concerned about an exam, you study hard the night before, right? But there's also an anxiety that can cause debilitating physical symptoms. Inability to sleep, eye twitching, trouble swallowing, ulcers. Some people can't live without dope in the day and a sleeping pill at night. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. And then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So we're supposed to pray about everything big, right? God is all powerful. He's able to overcome the most difficult problem in your life. And the more you pray, the less you'll panic. Pray about everything big and pray about everything little. God cares about the smallest details of your life. Bible says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. You know, as a dad, I'm concerned about whether my children are in a car accident or whether they just have hurt feelings today, right? It doesn't matter if it's a big issue or a little issue. As a father, I care about all those things. And that's like our Heavenly Father. He's concerned about all the things that you're going through. And no matter what happens, stay thankful. Like, what do you do when obeying God lands you in prison or in suffering? Paul and Silas sang songs of praise to God in the middle of the night. Who sings songs when they've just been beaten to a pulp? Christ followers can. Friends, being thankful for all things in all circumstances is one of the most radical, subversive things that you can do. You know that researchers have found that the more young adults spend time in social media, the more likely they are to be depressed and have low self-esteem. What you see on social media is a mirage. Stop looking for peace on Instagram and Facebook. It only leads to coveting and discontentment. If you want emotional peace and contentment, put your phone away and enjoy the life that you have. Try thanking God for what you have, what he's done for you. You've got a roof over your head and enough food to survive and friends and a God who loves you. And Jesus went to the cross for your sins. There's a lot to be thankful for. And when we've prayed about everything, when we've entrusted every one of our concerns to God, knowing that he cares for us, we'll experience his peace in our minds and in our hearts. Like a security guard watching and protecting a building day and night, the result of believing prayer is that the peace of God will stand like a sentinel on guard over your heart. You know, Jesus and his disciples were in a boat one day on the Sea of Galilee, and a storm came up. And Jesus' disciples were experienced fishermen, so they've been through storms before, but this one was kind of like bigger than normal. And they all thought they were going to die. And where was Jesus the whole time? He was sleeping. He was sleeping in the bottom of the boat. How could Jesus sleep in the middle of an incredible storm? Because he knew something that his disciples hadn't quite understood yet. That God was in control. And he was okay if God was in control. Do you know that in the middle of a hurricane or a tornado, there's a quiet center called an eye? It's called the eye of a hurricane. And, you know, everything can be blowing apart around you, but there can be a quiet center in your life. You know, some years ago, Linda and I were on a cruise, and the last night, we encountered a big storm. I mean, we were on a massive ship. Not a little ship, a massive ship, right? A parking lot kind of size ship. But we were moving from side to side. The furniture on the deck, it was chained and it was flying around. Like, Linda found it hard to sleep. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night and she was, with Jesus in the boat, I can smile at the storm, smile at the storm, smile at the storm. With Jesus in the boat, I can smile at the storm as we're sailing home. You know, friends, That's a great song to sing. That's the kind of song that we should always have in the middle of whatever storm we're going through. Because with Jesus in the boat, we can smile because he's got things under control. Stress and worry and anxiety, they're indicator lights that we've taken our eyes off of Jesus. In Isaiah 26:3, God promises to keep in perfect peace all whose thoughts are focused on him. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." When was the last time you just sat still and focused on Jesus? In fact, I want us to try it right now. I want you just to be still. Could we just have a moment of silence? You can just focus on the cross and the manger. You could just focus on who God is. Just breathe out and breathe in. And breathe out. And focus on God's presence surrounding you. And he's in you through the Holy Spirit. You know, in John 14:37, Jesus gave us a promise. He said, "I leave my peace with you." It's nothing like the world gives. The peace that Jesus gives, it's not the absence of trouble, but it's the confidence that he's always with you. The peace that Jesus gives is a gift, and you can't earn it, and you can't buy it. You can't, "Oh, I'm going to give a big offering, and then maybe God's going to give me more peace." No, it doesn't work that way. Friends, you just have to understand. You just have to receive it. The peace that only Jesus gives is himself. If you want more of the peace of God, you need more of the God of peace. And the more you worship, the less you'll worry. And when we draw near to the God of peace, we'll experience his peace in our minds and our hearts. And when we realize who God is and what he's done, we'll have freedom from fear. Because if God's for us, who can stand against us?
Amen.
Thank you. Look at Christ. As Tim Keller writes, look at what God did for you. He sent his only son into the world, and to the degree that you behold it and grasp it and treasure it and ponder it in your heart, to that degree, those fears will start to diminish. We can have the peace of God as well as peace with God. And there's one other kind of peace that God wants us to have. It's called peace with other people. God wants his children to be peacemakers in this world. The angel said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." You know, in the last 100 years, how many years have there been when there wasn't a war somewhere on the earth? I bet not one. First World War ended over 100 years ago. There was the Second World War, the Jewish genocide, the Korean War, the Cold War, the Vietnam War, the Cambodian genocide, the Afghan War, the Balkan War, the genocide in Rwanda. There's ISIS and the Syrian War and Russia and Ukraine and the continuing war on terrorism. Wow. Canada's been blessed not to have a war on our soil in the last 150 years. And we've sent peacekeepers to many places on earth. But Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, not the peacekeepers." And you know what may be one of the biggest peace stealers in most of our lives? It's relationships with others, right? That can be a source of stress and conflict in our lives, especially at Christmas time. I mean, I don't know how many of you have kind of dysfunctional family opportunities to learn this lesson, but you know, I mean, getting along with your boss and your neighbors and even your family at Christmas. You know, we deal with conflict and competition and criticism on a regular basis, but how do we get peace with other people? You know, even in the early church, there was conflict between warring groups of Jews and Gentiles. Anybody who wasn't a Jew was a Gentile. And those two groups didn't always get along. But Ephesians 2:14 says, "Jesus himself is our peace. We're reconciled to God through Jesus' death, and we're reconciled to each other." There's not two different groups. There's one group. There's one church. We're all children of God. But in every loving family, There's children who don't get along. What does God want of us? He wants us to be peacemakers. He wants us to take the initiative to love others, even to those who don't deserve it. Even at Christmas time. It was 1914. Soldiers filled opposing trenches with Germans on one side and Allied forces on the other, and it was late in the evening when the shooting finally stopped. And it was Christmas Eve. And then a Christmas miracle took place. First there was singing, "Oh, holy night." And then, "God save our gracious king, long live our noble king, God save the king." And peeking over the trenches for what must have been the first time in weeks, British soldiers were surprised to see Christmas trees lit with candles on the protective wall of the enemy's trenches. And there was a big shout, "You no shoot, we no shoot." And then what followed defied logic. It was a Christmas truce. And not just to bury the dead, but there was exchanges of wine and cigarettes and candy, and there was singing. There was a game of soccer on Christmas Day. And the spirit of Christmas, or the spirit of Christ, had invaded the war. And the Christmas truce was brief. It was spontaneous ceasefire that spread up and down the Western Front in the first year of World War I. And it was a symbol of peace on earth and goodwill toward humans, so often lacking, not just on the battlefront in a war, but in our everyday lives. Friends, if that could happen in the middle of a war with people shooting at each other, it can happen even in your dysfunctional family. Maybe you've despaired as the songwriter Longfellow did, who wrote this song while his son was recovering from critical wounds that he received in the U.S. Civil War. "And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. "God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men." Friends, replace despair with hope and do what you can to pass on the peace that you've experienced in Christ. What's required for peaceful interpersonal relationships? Well, Paul said it this way, "If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all people." When there's an interpersonal conflict, somebody's got to take the initiative and offer a truce. And you can do more than that. You can take the initiative to forgive others. And you can pass on the peace of Christ to others. And Helen Steiner Rice said, "Peace on earth will come to stay when we live Christmas every day." Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace." And when we trust Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit into our life. And the Holy Spirit's the umpire that keeps the peace when everything around you is chaotic. And the Holy Spirit prompts us to take the initiative to extend God's peace to others. God wants us to share the peace of Christ, the spiritual and emotional peace that we've experienced with others. And it's out of the overflow of that peace that we can be peacemakers in our family, in our workplace, in our church, in our world. So what kind of peace do you need the most today? Peace with God? The peace of God? Or peace with other people? You know, one of the ways that we can respond is in prayer. You know, prayer is simply talking to God. And I'd like to suggest three different prayers that could kind of summarize our response. If you need peace with God, maybe you need to pray a prayer like this. Say, "Thank you, God, for forgiving my sin by dying on the cross. I believe you died for my sin and rose again to restore my friendship with God. I trust you as my Savior and I want to follow you as my Lord." Friends, if you pray a prayer like that today, you can experience peace with God. And if you don't kind of know how to do that by yourself, if you didn't come with anybody today, look for somebody with a red lanyard and they'd love to pray with you. We have a prayer time. We always have people available to pray right after a service. I'd encourage you to do that. Take a step to peace with God. Maybe you need the peace of God in your life. If you want to experience the peace of God, you might want to try praying the serenity prayer. You know, the first part of the prayer is very well known in AA circles. But to experience the shalom of God, you need to pray the whole prayer. I wonder if we might be able to just pray this prayer out loud together. Could we do that? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking as he did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. That's the full prayer. Or maybe you need peace with others. I wonder if we could maybe pray this prayer aloud as well. It's the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. Let's pray this one. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me so love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, and it's in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it's in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Well, the purpose of Christmas is to bring peace, God's shalom, to every area of your life, your soul, your mind, your relationships. God reconciled us to himself through Jesus, and he wants to extend that reconciliation to other people through us. But if you try to reconcile with other people and you get stuck because the hurt is just too painful, perhaps you need to go back to your relationship with God. There's sort of an order of this: peace with God and the peace of God and peace with others. Remember how much God has forgiven you. And as you're filled with the love of Jesus, you'll be empowered to pray more and to worry less and let go of the hurts and hostilities that you've been carrying against people. At the end of the service, I'm going to ask you to pass the peace. You know, some churches and liturgical churches, they say, would you pass the peace to others? It's a handshake, it's a greeting. I want you to do that. But before we go, I want to encourage us to just, there's one other song that I want to close with. And you might not know it, and then just let the words wash over you. If you know it, you're certainly welcome to sing along. It's by Matt Maher. And we're going to then end our service with a benediction and passing the peace to each other.
One star burns in the darkness, shines with a promise, I
Let me invite you to stand as I read a benediction over us all. It's from 2 Thessalonians 3:16. And now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. Amen. Don't forget to pass the peace to each other as you go today. And don't forget to buy the tickets for our fantastic Christmas banquet this Friday night.